Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by you guys. It is a Mailbag Monday episode. I'm going to be answering your questions right after I react to the Lakers' first home loss of the season. I guess there's a bit of an asterisk as to whether or not it's their first home loss of the season. They played a game at Staples Center where probably a little more than half of the crowd were Laker fans, so I don't know how you want to define that first opening night loss, but here we are. The Lakers lose 113-104 to the Toronto Raptors, despite Toronto not having Kyle Lowry or Serge Ibaka. It was just pretty clear, and this is kind of so the Lakers opened up the season really well, and I think they sent a couple messages over the course of that seven-game winning streak, but I do think we are going to start getting into a little more coasting mode. And I thought last night's game felt a lot like that. They tried to, you know, throw a couple haymakers there at the very end and brought the game to within, I believe, four. And then had a couple wide-open three-pointers look good but miss. And then, you know, Toronto got out in transition. And it was just the thing is, like, had they won that game, it's not that this team needs to learn lessons or anything like that. It's an old veteran team that understands how to go about the regular season. And I think that's why you're seeing them kind of play down to the level of the competition. It's just because they're still trying to figure out, all right, what's the lowest amount of energy we can expend and still win consistently and win as much as we want to win. Now, what that means is that LeBron is playing more minutes and Anthony Davis is playing more minutes than you would maybe prefer, but they have to play those extended minutes because it's taking these second half runs to be able to take care of business against lesser opponents. So it's just going to be it's going to be a process and watching them figure out how to handle that and how to balance not overworking for wins while still getting those wins. And I thought tonight was an example of, or last night was an example of them going too far in the other direction and waiting a little bit too long or way too long to actually go out and step on their throat. And look, the Lakers had opportunities. They were up by double digits. So they had opportunities to just put the game away. They just played with their food, and then eventually Toronto's second unit came out and punched what is probably one of the better Laker lineups directly in the face. I think a big part of why the Lakers are still kind of struggling a little bit more than we'd like is that Kyle Kuzma is very obviously going to play a big role on this team. And right now he isn't good enough to have earned that role. And that isn't me saying that he should not be playing. I don't think that's the case at all. Remember the conversation that Pete and I had in Friday's show, where we talked about how the Lakers go to Anthony Davis post-ups late in the game and how that's as much or if not more about getting Davis used to getting into that dominant big man mentality for later, for times when they're going to need that later. I think this Kuzma thing is an example of this too, that, you know, the Lakers know that if they are going to reach their ceiling or continue to raise their ceiling, it's going to be because Kyle Kuzma stepped into the role as like the third or fourth best player on the team. And right now, I would probably argue he might not be a top five Laker in terms of just abilities as a player. He's not playing to that level, but they do still have to get him these reps. And, you know, he finishes the game, I believe, a team low minus 12 on the night. And, you know, it felt that way. He's still figuring it out as far as, you know, one, when he can be aggressive. And then two, obviously, what that aggression and what that assertiveness actually looks like out there on the basketball court. So there's going to be questions about Kyle Kuzma. There's going to be questions about rotations and this and that and the other. But and then, you know, in tomorrow's show, Pete and I will talk a little bit more at length. I'm probably going to rewatch this game Just to get a better feel for it, I can't lie. The Vikings were playing the Cowboys. My mom's favorite team is the Cowboys. And then, you know, I also have my grandpa's in the hospital. So it was a busy day today. And so I'll be able to go back and rewatch the game. And then Pete and I will talk about that more in tomorrow's show. So look forward to that. Other things that I do want to talk about here regarding the game, Pascal Siakam is a beast. So you look at his line, and it's an okay line, 24 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks, a steal, 9 of 25 from the shooting, 1 of 8 from three-point range. But he finishes the game a game-high plus 15. And it's pretty insane to say this, but there were pretty noticeable stretches where he felt like one of, if not the best player on the court. And the Lakers are only going to go so far as LeBron and Anthony Davis take them. So if there are games that it isn't crystal clear that they are the clear-cut first and second best players on the basketball court, the Lakers are going to struggle. And you know, one of the things we always talk about is how the Lakers seem to go with, you know, rise to the amount of energy that LeBron puts out there. And he finishes the game with a triple-double. He's talented enough that he's going to be able to do that, right? He's that great of a player that he's going to be able to mess around and then still drop a triple-double. But I do kind of feel like the Lakers, their energy waned when LeBron's did, and his waned a little bit too long. And as a result, you saw Siakam out there look like the better player for stretches, and the Lakers can't have that. Again, it's one loss. The Lakers can still go 80-2. but you know, it's an annoying loss. You don't like losing at home, and you don't like losing at home to a lesser opponent, but they did. And now you get to, you know, Pete and I get to talk about what some of that means moving forward for the team. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to open up the mailbag and answer as many of your questions as I possibly can. The mailbag is really full. So shouts to you guys for coming through and continuing to come through in that regard. All right, ATM5X writes, love the show, best Lakers pod, period. Thank you. With all the talk about the Lakers-Clippers rivalry, does the road crowds making it feel as if every game is a home game make it apparent there is no rivalry between the two franchises, period? I think that started as a question and then became a statement, but look, the Lakers and Clippers don't have a rivalry right now. They do not. My hope is that such a rivalry will develop over the course of the season. Whether that's in the 4 games that the Lakers and the Clippers will play against each other this year, maybe they meet in the playoffs, but it would be cool if the Lakers and Clippers had that actual crosstown rivalry or even crosstown tension, right? Like, it hasn't even been, there's been like almost no tension between the two organizations. They've never been good at the same time, definitely not this good at the same time. And this season just feels different because Kawhi Leonard literally chose the Clippers instead of the Lakers. That's never been done before. So yeah, I think that they're a rivalry right now? Of course not. That'd be stupid to think. Is it something that I would like to see happen over the course of the season? Hell yeah. That'd be great. That the opening night, the vibe in that arena where it was like 50-50, if not slightly more Lakers fans than Clippers fans there. It became a competition within the competition. It wasn't just the Lakers and the Clippers playing against each other and competing on the scoreboard, but you could hear it through the TV. You could, anybody who was there would tell you that it felt like a high school game. And that's a really cool vibe. You don't get that very often in professional sports. So that's what I'm hoping for. And while I don't think that was necessarily a question, I do think it should be something that we as a fan base and we as a city hope happens this year. Jason from NYC writes, "Hi guys, just wanted to get your thoughts on the front office. Have not heard a peep or a whimper from anyone. This seems to be the new norm for the Lakers, and I like the new silent but deadly front office. What are your thoughts?" I got into this a couple shows ago when we were talking about the front office and ownership and stuff, but I think it's too early to ask this kind of a question, right? Like, let's get to at least Christmas to start asking about, well, is everything fixed in the front office? Is this the organization that we all want it to be? Like, I think there's a lot of confirmation bias going on when the Lakers start the season well, and you want to be able to say, oh yeah, everything's fixed now. We're back to just being the Lakers that I can just fully trust. That's not really how I operate. There are still some questions here. We still have to see how the Lakers handle the buyout market if Andre Iguodala doesn't come, or if he gets traded before he can hit the buyout market. I would like to see what the Lakers' backup plan there is, right? And look, the Lakers still, I don't want to call it outright failure, but they still didn't meet expectations last offseason. They thought they were getting Dwight, or they thought they were getting Kawhi. Like, that was a thing that they thought. And if you want evidence as to whether or not they felt that way, they stuck around and waited. They could have moved on. There were other moves that could have been made. And sticking around, that meant that they had to pass up on some other players. And, you know, it's I still consider it the right thing that they should have done. But they still didn't do what they set out to do last offseason, even while they had a good enough offseason to have this year start out the way that it has. So I understand why I'm getting this question, and I got a few versions of this in this mailbag. But let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's actually see what this team is really capable of and what this front office is really capable of as we get further into the season. Remember last year, they signed Tyson Chandler right after he was bought out, and he played absolutely bananas to start his season with the Lakers. And everybody just thought, oh yeah, everything's fixed. Look at that. Tyson Chandler, and look at the front office. That's a move on the margins that you hope that that front office, it was a different front office, obviously, with Magic Johnson still there, but you kind of said, like, oh, that's the kind of move that we've been waiting for. And then Tyson Chandler realized that he's closer to 50 than he is to 20, I think. Yeah. You know, eventually his body gave out on him, and that move didn't look as good over the course of the year. And then we saw it get even worse when, for some reason, they traded away Ivica Zubats for Mike Muscala. And that didn't turn out very well. So let's actually let this season take place a little bit more, and then we'll be okay. And then I'll more clearly be able to say how I feel about this front office. And look, the point to make while saying all of that is that, like, it was a really good opening to the season. That's really cool. And let's continue to enjoy the opening to the season, hopefully with a bounce back win on Tuesday. Let's go one more question here from Johnny and Jed. Awesome show. If you're like me and can't get enough Lakers in your life, my question is, does Kuz look leaner this year, or is that just his haircut? Thanks. And Pete is right. Pineapple is always better by itself than on pizza. Where are my pineapple on pizza people? Everybody who's leaving these comments are all these anti-pineapple people, and you're all wrong. Anywho, about Kuzma, I wouldn't say he necessarily looks leaner. Look, he's still kind of growing into his body, so I think you have some of that going on. It's a weird haircut that he has. I don't really know what he's trying to accomplish with it, but, you know, do your thing, I guess. But I think with Kuz, and a lot of people are kind of pointing this out on Twitter as well in my mentions, and then other people who I follow are saying this as well, he still doesn't quite look right. Yes, he got fouled on that layup or whatever, but he went up on that layup incredibly soft. And you know, if Kuzma was feeling a little bit better, I kind of wonder if he doesn't go up off of 2 feet and try to really get the crowd going with that kind of a play. So I still think we're a little ways away from him being 100%. And, you know, when he starts looking more like that, hopefully that leads to more comfort out there with what he's supposed to be doing. We'll see, though. Let's take one more question. Why not? My Magic writes, it's not a question. Thanks for the show. Thank you. Money Mike H writes, what's up? Rate these movies in order. Space Jam, Blue Chips, He Got Game, White Man Can't Jump, Celtic Pride, and I'll throw Basketball in there for fun. I don't really know which movie Basketball is, so I'll just put that last. Nope, take that back. Basketball comes before Celtic Pride. Celtic Pride is last because Celtic Pride. And then the other movies are a little tougher. I have White Man Can't Jump, and then He Got Game, and then Space Jam, and then Blue Chips. Though Space Jam and Blue Chips are pretty close. But White Man Jump is one of my favorite movies of all time, and then He Got Game is also right there for some of my favorite, one of my favorite movies of all time. There are a bunch of other basketball, like Coach Carter could be mentioned in there. I thought that was a pretty good movie, though it didn't age all that well. Glory Road is really good. I really enjoy that movie. There's a Hoosiers is there, though. I think that's one of the more overrated movies in the history of cinema. But keep questions like that coming. Those are fun. All right, let's take another quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to keep on answering your questions. All right, next question here comes from Let Shannon Dunk. Hey guys, back again with another question. Back at it again. Sorry. Do you guys think that if this winning continues, LeBron and AD will end up stealing votes from each other for MVP and costing one of them the trophy? I know it's really early, but I think LeBron has a really good chance. Just worried AD might take some of his votes away. I think there's some potential for that. I think Giannis is pretty clearly the most valuable player in the league still. I think, you know, he doesn't have another, you know, he doesn't have an Anthony Davis or a LeBron James there to steal votes for him. So I don't think it matters as much. I just think Giannis is, you know, he's won the MVP at 24 years old, is probably going to get better, and appears to be well on his way to getting better right now. So the Milwaukee Bucks, I think, still have the biggest point differential, the highest point differential in the NBA. And if the Bucks are once again the league's best team or have one of the league's best records, and Giannis is there as the engine to that ship again, then that's how that's going to go. But I could see some potential there for Davis and LeBron. I do think the voters are a little smarter, so it isn't going to be quite as bad as it was back with like Shaq and Kobe. That was really bad. Let's go to the next question. Here comes from Fontaine Love. Hey, I'm a newer listener, loving the content thus far. Do you think Kuzma might be able to grow into and accept his role of coming off the bench? Or is he bound to get caught up with being a starter? I feel like he could really be the Lou Will-like spark of the offense that we need in the second unit, but I know it's more difficult for younger players to accept that right away sometimes. I actually think Kuzma will be more open to the role than even some in the organization. I don't worry too much about Kuzma having, you know, too big a head on his shoulders. Frankly, I wish he would play with a little bit more confidence out there. And it's tough, you know. He's a third-year player who was not a lottery pick, and he's being asked to be the third or fourth best player on a team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and the expectations that come with being on a team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis on the Lakers. So I think he's in a tough spot here. I think the bench role makes the most sense for him because that's the most simplified role that he's going to play. If he's just asked, hey, just come in and shoot, you know, come in and don't be terrible on defense. And I think we kind of saw a regression game here from we definitely saw a regression game here from Kuzma last night against Pascal Siakam, who, you know, is a bona fide star. But we saw that a little bit, and I do kind of wish that we would kind of temper our expectations for Kuzma. I get really uncomfortable when a player is obviously expected to do more than they appear to be capable of right now. And when you're comparing Kuzma to a Lou Williams, or when you're telling me that he could be the you know, there were all those headlines heading into the season, and I found them all stupid, but there were all the headlines of, is Kuzma the Lakers' third star? Like, let's let him be a good role player first, and then consider him a star, right? Let's not skip that very important step of being a valuable role player on a good team. He was a very good rookie on a bad team 2 years ago, and then on a team with expectations last year, he regressed. So I want to see him be good on a good team before we start getting carried away with expectations for him. And I think in this case, the easiest role that he can play is just scorer off of the bench. And as that role grows, as he earns more responsibility, he can take on more responsibility. But I do feel like everybody, including the Lakers, are expecting way too much out of Kyle Kuzma right now. Just let him be good on a good team first, and then we can start talking about what his ceiling is and whether he can make an all-star game or anything like that. All right, next question here comes from Park Wahlberg. Hey guys, you told us to give some more fun questions, so I have this one, can take care of that. If you guys could design the perfect fantasy role player to put on the Lakers in real life, what would it look like? Basically, if you could take one piece of three other NBA players and combine them into a non-all-star role player for the Lakers, what would that player look like? And who would you drop from the team in order to sign this new design player? Well, I think Malcolm Brogdon has a chance of being an all-star this year, so I don't know if we're considering him a role player anymore. But if the Lakers could have like a Malcolm Brogdon type point guard, a close to 40% three-point shooter, a guy who doesn't turn the ball over very much and can handle ball pressure and is good defensively, like that's if you put Malcolm Brogdon on this Lakers team, they would be easily title favorites. That's how big a fan I am of his game. And again, now maybe he's not the right example to use here because he could technically be an all-star. But until then, I guess I'm going to cheap out and say that he's the player that I want on the Lakers. And who would I drop to have him on the Lakers? I mean, come on. It's Rondo. Right. Other kind of players that the Lakers could really use is just a wing. They don't have, you look at the two losses that the Lakers have had this year, and it was to Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers, and it was to Pascal Siakam and the Toronto Raptors. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the Lakers didn't deal well with longer, more physical, more physically gifted wing players. Like, those guys are always going to give the Lakers problems until they sign a wing who can actually defend there. And as evidenced by last night, that wing is not Kyle Kuzma. Not right now. Maybe he can grow into it and not be such a disaster on defense, but he was getting punked regularly by Siakam. And you can't have that. And, you know, he wasn't good enough offensively to make up for how bad he was defensively. And, you know, and again, like I said, I'm fine with him taking his lumps on November 10th. Like, that's fine. Just so long as in April and May and Lord blessing June, as long as he takes the lumps that he took in November and learns from them and applies those lessons to those bigger situations, then last night's game might actually be a net positive. Let's go to the next question here. Comes from Hey JF baby. Since you like fun questions, do you or Pete like animes? Our generation grew up on Dragon Ball Z, so tell Pete he better not slander the GOAT. I did not watch Dragon Ball Z or very many animes. That was not my cup of tea. I mean, I guess are we counting Pokemon as an anime? Because I would mess with Pokemon a little bit. But that wasn't something that I really watched a ton of. I do know that the most recent Godzilla was, I enjoyed that, and that was the anime that was on Netflix. So that's been pretty good. But I'm not really an anime guy. I'm more comic books and stuff like that, and that wasn't, I don't think that qualifies for what you're asking about. I'll ask Pete though, and I'd be surprised if he got into that stuff though. Knowing Pete, you guys know Pete. Unless there's a basketball anime, I don't think he watched much of it. ZZABNA writes, "Hey Anthony, love the show. This is for you and Pete. Hypothetically, if Isaiah Thomas were on this year's Lakers, would he be a contributor off the bench? Could help with the playmaking and full court pressure." The problem with Isaiah Thomas is he is maybe literally one of the worst defenders in the history of the NBA. And he is not good enough offensively to make up for how bad he is defensively. He's never going to be the player that we saw in Boston ever again. He's never going to be close to that. Sub-6-foot point guards don't age well under the best of circumstances. He is not playing under the best of circumstances. He never got, I don't think, fully healthy, and as a result has kind of lost a step. And now I asked the question a few years ago, if he was ever going to be a legitimate NBA player ever again. And so far, he hasn't disproven my concerns in that regard. So it's a tough thing. It sucks that he lost a bunch of money the way that he did, but he wouldn't help the Lakers. Let's go one more question here. KS Fanatic Fantastic writes, "Keep up the great work, guys. This is easily the best Laker podcast around. Love the dynamic between Anthony, Pete, and Harrison, too, when he decides to hop on. Keep up the great work." Thank you. Question, "Are there any schematic things any of you guys notice that you feel can be changed to improve our outside shooting? I know you guys talk about it not necessarily being the shooters, but the type of shots they're getting within the flow of the offense that's important. If you could add any specific action, what would it be and with whom? P.S. Pineapple on pizza is glorious." Thank you. Thank you. So in terms of things that I would do schematically strategically, if there are things that I could do strategically to get shooters better looks, I think the Lakers really have to get LeBron and Anthony Davis on the same page with their two-man game more consistently than they've been. And they do a lot of matchup hunting, even early on in the game. I get doing that a little bit at the end of the game when you're just looking to get a shot up and you have such incredible mismatches as you do in LeBron and Anthony Davis. But I do wish they would go more to the LeBron and Anthony Davis pickup or a pick and roll sets and anything building off of that a little bit earlier, and then have, you know, something on the weak side, whether it's just having guys switch spots on the weak side, pin down screens for when LeBron drives baseline and you now have, you know, Danny Green with his shoulders square to the basket standing there in the corner. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I would be looking for. And look, also, it's worth mentioning here while we're talking about this subject that Frank Vogel said that they didn't have enough time to really implement their offense the way that he hoped, because of the trip to China. So not only was it a huge socio-political and geopolitical nightmare, they also it also hurt their basketball. So just bang up job all around in that regard. But they are still building these things on the fly, and even China wouldn't have helped. It wouldn't have helped Kyle Kuzma get integrated any more smoothly than he has thus far. He wasn't available, and he wasn't really able to do much while they were in China or when they could have been back home. So this thing is going to, you know, it's going to be a process. There are some things about the way that the Lakers operate their offense that I like. There are some things about the way that they operate their offense that I don't like. And I do think this is, you know, it's great that they were able to implement the principles on defense and be a pretty good defensive team and use that as like a foundation to win games while they, while the offense catches up to the defense. But it's going to be fascinating to see what this team looks like maybe in a couple months from now when they do feel a little bit more confident about a system that, that they have tried to implement. And I have faith that they'll be able to do that. That'll do it, though, for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Again, bummer, Lakers lose, whatever. They can now go 80-2. Next time you hear from me will be with Pete. He and I will talk about last night's game and probably answer a few more questions because I barely made a dent in the mailbag today. So thank you guys very much for sending those questions in. Again, a reminder, if you guys have any questions or any topics that you want covered on the show, send them in the form of a 5-star iTunes review, and I will answer them. But for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.